What's up, guys? This is Jacques. Welcome back to Unpopular. I have Shallon Lester back on today. She is a YouTuber. She's the former editor of Star Magazine. She was a Hot Topics regular on Wendy Williams. This is her second time on my podcast, and we had a really long conversation about Courtney Stodden and Chrissy Teigen and Colton Underwood. But first, let's talk about some TV and some Bravo news before I get to Shallon. So Hannah Burner is out at Summer House. I assume she was fired. With the exception of Lindsay, she was the most entertaining one on that show. So I don't know what you guys are going to do now, because do you even have a show without Hannah? I mean, everyone who tried to hype up dull Danielle this season is going to be in for a rude awakening when you're reminded how boring she is without a polarizing personality like Hannah to react to. Do you guys understand that Danielle has been on the show since season 2 and she hasn't done one memorable thing? Name one Danielle storyline going back from season 2 that you even remember. There's like nothing. And she was demoted in season 4 for being boring. And she probably only got full time in season 5 because of like COVID filming logistics. So whatever. I mean, she's a nice girl. Don't get me wrong. She's like fine, but she's no Hannah Burner. So I don't know what's going to happen with Summer House now. It could be good to take Hannah out maybe, so like fresh storylines can thrive. But I did say that about Leanne Locken on The Dallas Housewives, and that just had one of the worst seasons of Housewives I've ever seen. Like, I had to stop watching it. So, I mean, who knows if they're going to do well without Hannah. I just think Summer House kind of needs some, like, stunt casting to spice it up. Like, they just need to, like, throw, I don't know, like, someone that we know in there. I kind of want the same for Vanderpump Rules. I think Vanderpump Rules needs Brielle Bierman or, like, somebody like that to, like, come in as a newbie and HRH Collection as, like, a friend of the show. Can you imagine? Or maybe Brielle can join Summer House. Like, I don't care. I just want to see Brielle on one of these shows. I posted something on Instagram about it earlier. Like, put Brielle on Vanderpump Rules or Summer House or, like, Floribama Shore. I don't care. I just think she'll be fun to watch. Speaking of Dallas Housewives, though, I think Cameron's getting fired. There was some Twitter drama where Cameron and her family were fighting with Tiffany and, like, it went too far. And now I think Cam's, like, getting the axe. I don't really know the ins and outs of it. I just think all the Twitter fighting between the Dallas Housewives is so cringy this season. Like, obviously, Bravo told them at the start of the season to start fighting with each other for social media engagement, and it just spiraled out of control. It was just so corny. It just felt really like contrived and like desperate for attention and just like petty as well. Like, oh my god, you're like 40-50 year old women and you're like sitting on Twitter like snarking back at each other. It's just so cringe. Cameron was like really dumb. I usually like her, but I did see one thing. Like, Tiffany tweeted a clown emoji and Cameron was like, oh, is that white face because I'm white or something? I don't even understand what she was trying to say. And then her brother-in-law was, they said he was being racist because he said that anti-racism is racist because it's negative to white people. I don't know, like, I couldn't even follow it. I think he's allowed to say, like, I think he can have his own opinion on what anti-racism is. Like, it's fine, I don't care. But he tagged Tiffany's hospital and he had some tweet where he tagged her hospital and he's like, oh, you were at my house blackout drunk and then we took you home and, like, you had to treat patients the next day. I hope you weren't drunk when you treat, like, something like that. Like, that crosses the line. Like, that's defamation. That puts her job at risk. Like, that's way too far. So then, like, Tiffany pretended that she was quitting the show so Bravo would back her. It was a total ultimatum move. She changed her Instagram bio and was like, previous cast member of the Housewives of Dallas. And then as soon as she did that, Bravo put out this statement condemning anti-racism, they put out some statement about it and they said, we stand with Asians and we stand with Tiffany. And then Tiffany changed her bio back to official cast member of the Housewives of Dallas. So it worked because, hey, there's no show without Tiffany at this point. Like, if Tiffany didn't come back, they would have to cancel it, I think. So she knew that she had that power. It's a little bit like when Leah did the contract negotiations with the Housewives of New York and she was in a position where they needed her for the show. So, you know, if I was Tiffany, I just would leave. I don't understand why she's still hanging around. Like, I stopped watching Dallas, but from what I saw of her season, she just had a miserable time. Like, she had to deal with all these racial topics, which I think Bravo put her in the shit with a lot of that. I don't think she even wanted to do that. I don't think she wanted to come on and be like some social justice activist. And I feel like Bravo forced her into that. And then she was getting like naked wasted every episode to try and fit in with the other women who were always drunk and partying. But Tiffany's not even a drinker or a partier. She's like a type A goody-goody like doctor. So, you know, that can't be that fun if you don't really enjoy doing that, but you're just doing it for television. Like, what is she getting from the show at this point? Like, Dallas Housewives pays peanuts. It's the lowest paid out of all the housewife shows. Like, Leanne was getting paid the most, so I don't think she was even getting much. So, you know, there's no money in it. It has the worst ratings. I just feel like now with the Stop Asian Hate movement and having all the viewers on Tiffany's side, like, she should just go and do something else. Like, she could probably use her little platform to spin it into something else. Like, why just invite all of this toxic negativity into your life from being part of this show? Like, she shouldn't be ran out of the show by, like, the Westcotts and stuff. Of course not. I just mean, you know, you're like a doctor. Do you really need to be on this gross show with people fighting with you and tweeting you and whatever? I mean, I don't care what they do with Dallas. Just cancel it. I stopped watching it. But you know what I do love? I am addicted to this new Kate Winslet crime drama, The Mayor of Easttown. It's so good. And it's nice to actually enjoy a scripted television show again, because it doesn't happen often, as evident by how I felt about that gross Girls 5 ever, worst show ever. A few of you messaged me about it. You said that that's just like Tina Fey's comedy style. So I guess I'm just not into Tina Fey, but I like Mean Girls is amazing. So I don't know how you make such a good movie like Mean Girls and then you make Girls 5, like, doesn't compute for me. But Mayor of Easttown, it's really bleak and it can be slow at times, which is how I like my scripted shows. So it's totally my vibe. Kate Winslet is a detective in small town Pennsylvania. She's investigating a murder, but she's also dealing with like all this emotional baggage and unresolved trauma in her own life and her past. And she's also dealing with like all these different relationships in the town, because everyone's connected to each other because it's a really small community. So that's really interesting. Evan Peters is in it too. He's like a younger detective that comes in to assist Kate with the case. He is very cute. He's a really good actor, and I don't know why he keeps doing Ryan Murphy shows, because Ryan Murphy is just fucking awful. He's like the Tyler Perry of the gay community, and Evan Peters could be doing so much better than just these hideous Ryan Murphy productions. But whatever, it's nice to see Evan Peters actually in something that's good. And you know, the murder mystery of this is actually the most generic part of the show. There's been a few plot points that I'm like, okay, this is a little bit like TV movie of the week right now, but that stuff's only small, and I do have a low tolerance for that kind of like bullshit generic plot devices, and I'm still obsessed with the show, so if like I can deal with it, anyone else will like love it. Kate Winslet is such a good actress. I actually forget, and I forgot that she was English from watching this. And then I went to watch an interview with her like promoting the show, and then she has like a British accent. I'm like, oh fuck, she's not even American, but she pulls it off so well, and her character is really complex and flawed, but like you still root for her and you kind of like understand what she's going through, which is hard to pull off. The show also, I've got to say, does a really good job at depicting this small American town with all of its problems, like, you know, opioids and unemployment and kind of, you know, poverty, but it's not in like a gross, condescending Hollywood way, like, you know, look at these poor white trash, you know, like Hillbilly Elegy or something. It's nothing like that. It feels very authentic and sympathetic without being condescending, so I highly recommend it. Totally go and watch it. You know, you either get sucked in by the characters and the atmosphere, or you'll just like the crime drama thing and you'll want to know who the killer is. It's so good. And you know what else I love? The Hills New Beginnings. It's back. Yes, it's boring. I don't care. I'm into it. It's just, I love it. And you know what? It's actually not as fake as I expected. I had a feeling that it was going to be so overproduced and phony, but I don't know. It was like more authentic than I was expecting it to be. So the premiere kind of surprised me. You guys know that I love Heidi and Spence. I'm fucking obsessed with them. Like insane. I messaged Spencer the other day. He is still coming on the pod, but now he's wrapped up with all the Hills promo. It sounds like he's blowing me off. I have faith in him. He's definitely coming on. I sound delusional. I swear he is. I'm not like a crazy, like, you know, girlfriend that like can't get the hint or something. Anyway, I posted a clip from the episode of Heidi crying about wanting another baby, and then Spencer's just sitting there while she's crying and he's eating a pot pie and not caring. So fucking funny. Like, he just knows how to make good TV. Like, he gives you comedy in these little moments without it being really contrived. You know, like when somebody says something shady and then they comically sip their wine in like a really exaggerated manner. Like, it's nothing fucking cheesy like that. He just knows how to find these like little moments. Like, it's second nature to him. But, you know, I am biased, but Heidi and Spencer, honestly, they're too good for this show. Like, I do love the show, but they could be on like a Housewives, like Bravo type level for sure. And, you know, I do want them to stick with The Hills because I want this show to continue and I like it. It's a vibe. But, you know, when it gets cancelled after whatever, this season or the next season, I doubt, as much as I love it, I don't see this show going on for like another 5 years or something. I think it's time for Heidi and Spencer to graduate to The Housewives. Brody Jenner. Okay, so he's on it. He grew his hair out. It's just ugly. I'm not into it. Like, I don't like long hair on men. It doesn't suit him. He's suited having short hair. I don't like it. I'm just not into it. Jason Whaler and Spencer, they are honestly the two hottest guys on the show to me. Like, don't even try it. Like, Jason Whaler is just so cute. I love his like thick facial hair, and I don't know, he just seems like a nice guy. And Spencer's just a cutie, and he's put on all this weight, so he's like, I wouldn't say he's fat, he's like chubby, he's a bit chumbawamba, but it's like, it's cute, it's like nice and cuddly. Justin Bobby, he's just sad. Like, he has to be the most douchiest, most pretentious person like I've ever seen on reality TV. Like, the quintessential Los Angeles hipster douchebag. He has not changed as a person one bit in the fucking, what is it, like 20 years or something since The Hills like first aired. I don't know. Except like now he's like pushing 40 and the shtick, it's just not cute anymore. Like, you can kind of get away with it when you're 25. Like, when you're 40, not so much. You should have heard him on this episode talking about getting out of LA during the pandemic. He's like, you know, yeah, you know, I'm like a nomad, so I split to Mexico so I could be free. Like, you can't cage me. Oh my God, like, grow up. You're 40 and you're a celebrity hairdresser, by the way, like, and all your girlfriends are LA models. Like, you're not this like earthy man of the woods fucking lumberjack. Like, I don't even find Justin Bobby masculine at all. Like, not even kidding, like Lil Nas X in his wigs and like women's clothing and like being all flamboyant is like way more mask and like manly to me than Justin Bobby. Cause like Lil Nas is like, he's like confident and successful and he's like really comfortable in who he is and he's just like creative and like talented and he just kind of has that energy. Justin Bobby's like a fucking hairstylist with like commitment issues and he goes after like bimbos like Audrina because any woman that had like more than two fucking brain cells could see through his shit. He's just so cringy. I mean, I like him on the show because it's like funny to laugh at him, but ugh. And oh my God, he has long hair too. Just like him and Brody, just yuck. Speaking of Audrina, they keep trying to make her the leading lady of this show. And she's like, she's barely interesting enough to even be like a B character, let alone like the main star. And that's probably the biggest flaw of this reboot because they kind of did that with her last season. They like made her and Misha Barton the two main girls and they're boring. Like, Heidi's way better, but they need Kristen Cavallari to be the full-time one. Like, Heidi's amazing, and she, like, I don't know, she's just, like, Heidi's not the sort of person you would, like, center it around, even though she's, like, a main character, but she's kind of like the foil to the main, you know what I mean? Like, that's Heidi's part, but for the main girl, like, they need, like, Kristen Cavallari back. And I know that she pops up on the show as, like, a guest star at some time, but, like, they need her as, like, that main person. So I'm hoping that if they're back next season, like, it'll be Kristen fronting it and then you just have, like, everyone else. And by the way, with Audrina, they've kind of, like, put her in a thing with Brody. I don't know how far it's going to go, but they're acting like her and Brody have a thing and I just think it's fake and a storyline thing. Brody's ex, Caitlin Carter, is back too. And do you guys remember she had a fling with Miley Cyrus? Well, they address it on the premiere, but they wouldn't mention Miley's name at all. Like, I'm wondering, was this, like, a legal thing? Like, did Miley, like, before, like, Caitlin went down on Miley, did she have to sign an NDA and, like, you can't talk about this publicly? So they'd never mention Miley, but right after the scene where Caitlin's talking about it, they play a Miley fucking Cyrus song, Prisoner, during the transition scene. Like, I was dead. They just made it as obvious as they possibly could. Seriously, though, I really liked the premiere. I'm going to keep watching it. And the trailer for the rest of the season is good. Like, it has a lot of drama and actually kind of seems real. And I love that everyone's in their mid-30s. It's a good middle spot between, like, the kind of older housewives age and then, like, the super young people, you know, in their 20s on the dating shows. Like, it's just, like, a good sweet spot. By the way, Rod Stewart's son, Sean Stewart, is a character and he's like 40 now and he's put on all this weight and I love it. The Hills is such a great show for just like dusting off all of these kind of like 2000s like C-list pop culture relics. Like, they've also got Carolyn Demore, which I don't know if you guys know her, but she was a DJ and a model and she was always like floating around the party scene during those like Paris Hilton, Lindsay Lohan like tabloid days. Like, she would always be at these parties with them all. So it's just fun to see these kind of people pop up. I'm into it. I love it. And yeah. All right, let's get into my guest, Shallon Lester. Remember, if you want to follow me on social media, that is at UnpopularJP on Twitter and Instagram. You can find everything in the show notes. If you would like to support the show, go to buymeacoffee.com/UnpopularJP. All the money there goes towards like covering my hosting costs and the editing software and just all the other little like bits and pieces that I pay for and use to get this show on the road. What else? Yeah, I guess that's about it. Everything's in the show notes. I'm putting all of Shallon's info in the show notes for you. Everything you need is down there. I think that's it. Oh, I do have some news, but actually, I'll tell you next week. It's not like super major. It's more just like, I don't know, back end, behind the scenes-y kind of stuff. But I'll tell you that next week. So thanks, guys. And I hope you enjoy my girl, Shallon. Okay, guys, I have one of your favorites here and actually my first ever returning guest. It's Shady Shallon Lester. How are you?
Hello, my darling. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad you're back. Like I said, you're my first returnee and I feel like we got on so well. You know, it's funny, since I started the podcast, I always have in my head, I think, oh, I'm going to become friends with this person when I interview them and stuff. And it usually doesn't work out. But with you, it did. But
yes, I know. This, I was like the low-hanging fruit. I know you're probably aiming higher for like, Dr. Drew is going to be like my texting buddy. Nope, you got stuck with Shallon Lester. I'm so sorry.
I thought me and Blair White were going to be like best friends afterwards. And then it's like, I mean, she didn't like ghost me or anything, but like, we're not friends. Right. I'm like, oh, anyway.
So, whatever, her loss. More for me, more Jacques.
Yes. So like, I got your whole life story last time, I feel like. So I just wanted you back to like talk some hot topics because you and I do not hold back. I feel like we're on the same page with a lot of things usually. Like, I look at your Instagram stories, I'm like, hey, I agree with her there. Or sometimes when I don't agree with you, you do often get proven right later on, which that does happen with me too, I will say.
Oh, for sure. I'm sure. Yeah.
So I want to do a bit of a deep dive on this whole Courtney Stodden thing, which is crazy because, I mean, it really started with her doing this interview in the Daily Beast and then it snowballed into Chrissy Teigen being cancelled and then Candace Owens is weighing in. It's just like every day I wake up and there's a new development in this Courtney Stodden story.
It's crazy. And it's like, how are we living in a time when like Courtney Stodden's at the top of the headlines?
Oh,
like,
she's back. She's back. It's like 2011 all over again.
I know.
I'm a big Courtney Stodden super fan, actually. I've been following her closely. She's my kind of celebrity. I've been following her since she came on the scene. You're probably pretty familiar with her, too, because you were at Star Magazine. So were you guys covering Courtney and Doug a lot?
I wasn't there when they were kind of like in the news. But yeah, I've just kind of followed the whole sort of train wreck of her career. We're putting that like in the loosest possible quotes, like, career. But I mean, she just, it's so strange to me that Chrissy went after her because she just never struck me as a healthy person. And it's like, why go after someone who clearly is not in a great mental or emotional space?
Do you remember when Courtney Stodden first came out? It was kind of like, we hadn't ever seen anything like her. Like, if you go back to that, like, remember, no one believed she was 16. We all thought it was a hoax. Right. Like, we thought, oh, she's 30 and she's pretending like that movie Orphan.
Yeah, because she had like that frosted lipstick in the 80s hair. Like, she looked, we have seen her before and it was in 1986 and she was like in a Whitesnake video. Like, she doesn't look like someone who was in the late 2010s, you know, we're like, huh. And she just had, I remember when her and Doug like got married and then she described their wedding night and it was, oh, Jacques, it was the stuff of nightmares. Like I have douche chills about it a decade past, but she was like, she did it in these like weird alliterative rhyming couplets, like sexual sensualism slowly slipping softly south of my, she's like, Doug kept me aroused for 24 hours. I'm like, why are you talking like this?
She was so hypersexualized in a way that was like, it was really next level. Like I was going back and watching some of the old footage and I couldn't believe it. Like even I remember they did this, it was this like infamous, this GMA interview, I think is when they kind of came out as we're married. And she was doing these like pouting her lips and like, you know, swiveling her head. It was just like sexuality on 100. And I remember she went on this reality show. It was like, couples therapy, yes. I think, on VH1. Yes. And I think she was 18 at the time and she kept getting in trouble because she was always walking around in like booty shorts with her boobs out and like flirting with every guy in the house. And you've got to think that for someone that young to be that sexual, like something's happened in her past. I think they said
Yeah, they did. I actually talked about this in the video I just did about it, but I remember on that watching it and someone, I don't know if it was one of the like doctors or therapists or another sort of reality person who was on there, but they're like, you're very hypersexual. Like, were you molested? And she was like, no. And it just, it was so heartbreaking because you could see that I don't know, that didn't seem like the whole truth. Like, that's not how I would have answered, you know, I'd be like, no, absolutely not. It seemed like there was a lot more under the surface there. And then when they said that, it's like, ah, like things kind of like clicked into place. You're like, okay. This is all sort of coming together in a pathology just really sad.
What kind of mother signs off their 16-year-old daughter to get married to a 50-year-old guy from Hollywood when they're that young? And Courtney had been sort of trying to be, like she was trying to be a pop star and stuff like years before, which that's got to come from her mother, right?
Because
I think her mother had Hollywood aspirations because her mom, I remember when Courtney ended up getting to Hollywood, then her mom started becoming like a Hollywood makeup artist or something. Like she was trying to be, and I found the most disturbing clip. So I was rewatching clips of Courtney and her mom when they went on this show called The Mother-Daughter Experiment. It was a reality show. It had Heidi Montag and her mom. It was a real like bottom of the barrel cut. Kim Richards was on it. It was after Kim Richards got dumped off Beverly Hills. And there was a scene, they're in therapy. And Courtney goes, when I was 12, mom, there was this 17-year-old boy at the grocery store. You were interested in him. You used me to get him over to the house because you wanted him. And instead of the mom denying it, she's like, she admits it and she's like, I was so lonely in the marriage. So she's admitting on TV that she like used her daughter to bring the 17-year-old over to the house. This is on YouTube to watch.
Oh, brother. Oh, dear. Yeah. I mean, like in that sense, it's like Courtney kind of never stood a chance. And the way her life has gone in a way is kind of one of the better possible outcomes. Like had she not found fame, she would have had this dynamic. She would have been married off to someone older in a trailer in Louisiana, you know, like this pathology and this kind of thing happens all across the world. And she is just like one of the few people who's had a spotlight on it. And so again, it's like for Chrissy Teigen to go after her, it's like, girl, can you not see what's going on here? Like you might not know the ins and outs of it, but clearly something is not okay in this literal child's life. And you're just like pressing on that.
Well, yeah, all of these tweets from Chrissy Teigen, right, that have come out, which are, so first this starts because Courtney Stodden goes in this Daily Beast article. And by the way, the Daily Beast article, they wrote it in because Courtney came out as non-binary recently, which is, and they wrote the article with all the they, them pronouns. And I was, being honest, I was so confused, like trying to read it. And
I don't get it. I don't get how the pronouns work.
And you know what? I've got to say, I actually think that non-binary is valid. When I had Blair White on, I actually talked about it and I was kind of like, you know what? Originally when the non-binary thing came out, I was like, this is so stupid. I don't get it. And then over time, I'm like, you know what? I kind of like that there's an extra category for people that feel like they don't fit in. I also feel like someone with gender kind of confusion, instead of feeling like, oh, I have to be trans, it's like good to have mm-hmm. this other category for them. I know that when my dad lived in Thailand for a few years, and that sounds creepy, but it wasn't a
He wasn't avoiding extradition.
No, my dad is just like into like Buddhism and spirituality and Ooh. Stuff. So he was living over there, and he said that like a lot of the lady boys, they were considered over there like a third gender, like they weren't considered yeah. male, female, or trans. So I don't have anything against the non-binary, but do I think Courtney Stodden is non-binary? No. You know, she right. has a new identity every 5 seconds. Like a year ago or 2 years ago, she was calling herself Ember and dyeing her hair red, and she was like impersonating Lana Del Rey. And she was like, Courtney Stodden's dead. I'm Ember now. I'm this singer. And she was doing like these Lana Del Rey ripoffs. And I kind of think that if you're going to be non-binary, honestly, you guys get mad at me for this. I don't care. I think you've got to have some, you know, but you've got to have some kind of like androgyny or like going back and forth. Courtney Stodden is the conventional feminine yeah. female in every sense yes. of the term.
I understand why someone who perhaps has a history of sexual abuse or molestation would be like, you know what? I don't want to have any fucking genitals at all. I want to be removed from this sexual arena because every time I've been in it, it has resulted in something incredibly traumatic. Like how people have a split personality or multiple personality disorders, like that happens. It's like a Horcrux, if you know Harry Potter. It's like you have to store your soul in different little containers because you cannot just have it all in one place. Like, so in that sense, it's almost like her non-binary makes the most sense for what her history is. But you're right. I mean, every few years she has a new identity, and they're always based on some sort of sexual aspect. This is just the opposite end of the same spectrum of being like, ooh, I'm like pursing my lips and tossing my hair around in this very childlike imitation of what I think sexuality is, because I'm 16 and I don't know, but this is like what I've seen on TV commercials. Okay, whatever. Like she, you know, whatever, respect the pronouns or all that fuck shit, but get a therapist. Like, get a therapist.
I know. Please, I think with the non-binary, I think she'll be done with it in a while. I can't.
Of course, guys,
I'm just warning you. I can't use the they them pronouns for her during this because I'm not going to be able to have a conversation because I'm going to be tripping up over my words. If I met Courtney in person, I would say they them. If we were having written correspondence, I would be fine. I'm fine to use people's pronouns. I'm not using them right now. It's going to ruin the conversation. So,
well, here's the thing with pronouns. Pronouns are made to make a sentence easier. They're made. Instead of saying, Shallon went to the store, Shallon's coming back, Shallon's opening wine, Shallon's taking a shower. It's Shallon's going to the store, she's coming back, she's taking a shower. Like, they're meant to make a sentence smoother. And if you have to stop and like do this algebra and this arithmetic yeah. in your head, it isn't. And it's like, if people require that, they're requiring people to spend more time thinking about them and talking about them. Like, I'm sorry you need that much attention. I'm not going to give it to you. Like, you can... I don't know. Yeah. I know that that's like not politically correct, but I'm not politically correct. I'm a grammar expert and I'm a writer, and this is not grammatically correct.
Well, when I was reading the Daily Beast thing, and like I said, I'm like, I don't have an issue with non-binary or like people's pronouns, but I'm trying to read it and I'm like, oh, it would be like, they did this and I think that they're referring to Courtney and Doug. And then I'm like, that's oh no, they just meant Courtney. Like yes. I kept getting tripped up at the start. So,
right.
Okay. So, yeah.
Difficult.
She said a lot in this article. She also said that this guy, this fashion mogul, Peter Nygaard, had been trying to hit on her when she was really young, and he's got done for like sex trafficking girls to an island or something since. So and you know what it also made me think about? I'll get to Chrissy Teigen in a sec, but I thought, how many Courtney Stoddens are there that have gone to Hollywood, but we just don't know about them because they don't have the spotlight on them? But how many of these girls have gone to Hollywood at 15, 16, and they've been like pimped out through the industry from old actors or, you know, elites or whatever, and, you know, we never hear about it? It's like pretty common.
I mean, I think that as a woman, it's like I can just think of not necessarily girls who've gone to Hollywood, which is like such an extreme version, but girls who've gone to college. I don't know one single girl, not one, who has not had a sexually traumatic experience when they were young, whether for something as intense as rape to something just as not intense of like a guy pulling your skirt up at the bar and being objectified and doing things that are beyond your comfort zone. And like, if that's happening to educated girls with power and, you know, like a family and just the best possible circumstances. I cannot imagine what is happening to these girls who are so disenfranchised and alone and desperate and neurotic and desperate for fame in Hollywood. Like that's, I feel like it's 100% of women. I mean, there was always the rumor that Jennifer Lawrence did what Harvey Weinstein wanted. Right. And that's kind of how her career got off the ground. Like,
yeah, well, when you look at her, she came out of nowhere and suddenly she's in all these, like, huge Harvey movies. And I kind of get it, too, because, I mean, hey, you want to make it. It's not easy to make it in Hollywood, especially.
Oh, I mean, yeah, we fuck people for no reason. If you're like, I could fuck this gross person and get an Oscar out of it, or I can fuck a hot guy and get nothing out of it.
Yeah.
Like, my friends would always be like, I would sleep my way to the top if I could just figure out who to sleep with. It's actually not as easy as you think. Or they don't back up their promises. They're not a sugar daddy. They're a Splenda daddy.
Yeah, Splenda daddy. No, and when you say about how it's kind of common, I actually moved out of home at 16. I was from a small town. I moved to Sydney, which is kind of like the biggest city here in Australia. Mm-hmm. And I was dodging like creepy men and stuff. Because I was sneaking out to clubs and stuff.
Sure.
I saw, and this is when I was like 16, 17, I saw like creepy old men with like, that looked like underage, like teen runaways and stuff. Like, you know, you'd see them on the club circuit and that. Like, there was a lot of that. I had guys when I was still underage that were like, fuck, like old guys like hitting on me and stuff. Like, it's really not uncommon out in the world. Like, this is
it's so sad. Yeah. And it's like, just because you're a man doesn't mean you have no vulnerabilities. I mean, you're a gay man. Like, that's on the fringes of some societies. You come from a small town. That's not maybe something that's super accepted. And you're used to feeling vulnerable. And people really prey on that. And it's so fucked up. Like, ugh, COVID killed all the wrong people. I mean, it really did.
It did. So all these Chrissy Teigen tweets come out first. Well, okay, so I guess it starts with Courtney said that Chrissy had been like DMing her death threats, which is that's so extreme because they dug up all these old tweets with Chrissy because some, I don't know who did it. And I will say that, look, flashing back to that time period, like everyone was dunking on Courtney Stodden. Like we'd never ever see, like, I'm honestly like all the media was like, there's so many clips, like people are pulling up Bethany Frankel doing it. There was a weird scene with Jason Alexander they're pulling up like everyone. Chrissy's taking the heat, but Chrissy definitely took it to an extreme with a death threat. Okay. Cause everyone was, and which is so weird to me. And, okay, look, there's so much to unpack with this. So firstly, she apologized. I thought the apology was good and I thought it was sincere. And I know you did too. Yeah. So you did your video on it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now Courtney's asking brands to drop Chrissy Teigen now until she apologizes privately, which I do think Chrissy should apologize privately, but I don't like when people go after sponsors and tell sponsors to drop a certain person. I just feel like if you want to boycott personally, I don't like when people go out of their way to contact a brand specifically and go, you can't work with this person because of XYZ.
Especially when her products have nothing to do with her, honestly, like her personality, like the Ellen DeGeneres thing where her whole thing is like hashtag be kind. And it's like, turns out she's a monster. Like, okay, if you're going to make your whole platform one thing and you're living completely contrarily to that, fine. But it's like Chrissy's platform is like skillets and cookbooks. Like, and again, if you don't want it, simply don't buy it. That's how.
Yeah, you don't have to buy it.
That is your line in the sand. But people don't feel like just doing that gives them enough power and agency because overall in their life, they don't feel like they have enough agency. And certainly we can see that with Courtney and how she's lived her life. She doesn't exhibit a lot of personal power or knowledge or a core of confidence or even a core of identity. You know, she, like you said, she reinvents herself.
Yeah.
You reinvent yourself when you're 55 after a divorce. You cut your hair off, you get bangs, you get your boobs lifted. That's a reinvention. Like every 2 years when you're 21, not great.
I do think that Chrissy does need to apologize to her personally. And I think you said something really good when you were on last time, which was if you wrong someone, like, yeah, apologize to that person specifically. You don't owe strangers on the internet an apology. Like, you don't owe just like random people. But I also get why Chrissy would want to, like, clarify, look, I'm not this person anymore, which I believe, I got to say, I think I said this last time you were on. That was the Perez Hilton era. Like, okay, Courtney, I mean, Chrissy took it to an extreme with death threats. That's not normal. But putting the death threats aside, a lot of Chrissy's tweets were very reminiscent of how we all talked on the internet. Actually, people still talk like that on the internet. They just don't use a fucking verified photo of themselves anymore. They hide behind an avatar of like anime or something, you know? Like,
right. And, the and they come from like the woke mob and they think that's better. And it's so funny when people are like, look at what this fucking bitch tweeted, like, oh, your crimes on the internet will live forever. It's like, bro, this tweet that you just made is your crime on the internet. Mm. And like, you are now inhabiting exactly the behaviors you're trying to cancel. It's just like this weird circle jerk of non-logic.
A lot of people are like calling for Chrissy to be canceled, but these are the same people that don't like cancel culture. And I'm like, okay, guys, you've got to be consistent because I don't like Chrissy Teigen. I don't like cancel culture. I don't think Chrissy should be canceled for 10-year-old tweets. I think her apology was sincere. You did raise a good point as well when you're like, someone apologized and then people go, that apology is not sincere. You only apologized because you were caught. Well, fuck. They usually are sincere, I think. Yeah. Like, I try to take people at face value. And of course, you're going to apologize if you get caught. Do you think Chrissy's going to come out of randomly and go, oh, just so you know, guys, I tweeted horrible things 10 years ago. Like, no, you're going to pretend it didn't happen.
And I mean, we do that in our own life. Like, we act like celebrities move through the world in a completely different way. Like, they are humans and they have the exact same human behaviors that we do. Just, it's under a microscope or it's maybe amplified in one area. It's like, when was the last time you literally reached out to someone with no impetus, no outside feedback from a friend who's like, you were such a dick to Kristen last night. And you're like, oh, like, you're just like, I woke up today and realized all of my sins. So I'm going to go on this tour of contrition. Like, that just kind of doesn't happen. If it does, it's rare. And so like, we apologize when people make us or bring it to our attention in a way we can't ignore, or there's the fallout if we don't apologize, like to our boss, to our boyfriend.
Yeah.
It's so catastrophic, we have to just do it. But by and large, no, people don't apologize. And
yeah. And it doesn't mean that it's not sincere. Like, it can still be sincere. Right. Like, I really think, I'm sure Chrissy Teigen read those tweets and was like, oh my God, that was horrible. And she was, she was like, I was a troll. And there's a thing about someone like Chrissy Teigen, I might have said this before, people with a big personality, you know, like Chrissy's very entertaining and she has funny tweets and like, you know, I'm entertaining, you're entertaining. But the thing is, like, when you have that kind of personality, you kind of have a dark side and you will cross the line at times, you will fuck up. And it comes with having that personality type. And the people that are like, I would never tweet that, it's like, yeah, well, you probably don't tweet anything that's like funny or like entertaining either. It's why, like, you're not in the public eye, you know?
Oh my God. I want to chisel that into stone and put it just all over the world. Exactly. It's like, you're not saying anything relevant ever. And it's like, for people to be funny, for people to be a stand-up, to be a celebrity, you're on a risky limb. At some point, like, one of the phrases I say in my videos, like, leadership is risk in service of authenticity. And celebrities are leaders. They're leaders in whatever category that is, sports, you know, art, music, whatever. And like, leaders are going to say things that other people aren't saying, and they're not always going to be 100% agreed with. And you can simply, you can hear something you don't agree with and move on with your life.
Yeah. No. So, yeah, I don't agree with cancelling Chrissy. I think the apology was sincere. I think she should reach out to Courtney privately. But I do understand why people, like, I get why people are mad at Chrissy, because she is that person that with the fucking big loudmouth. She is that typical Hollywood elitist that shits on the Trump voters all the time. And she has that fucking attitude. And she also quit Twitter not that long ago, which I called it out at the time as a publicity stunt. It was so attention seeking. It was so like, oh my God, the Trump people bullied me off Twitter. And, you know, I can't use my Twitter. And then she comes back like 2 weeks later. It's like, okay.
You knew she was going to. I know. She's like Michael Jordan retiring. It's like, we'll see you in a season. Okay.
Yeah. 100%. So I do get why people don't like her. I don't have a huge problem with her, but I mean, I don't like her or John Legend's politics. Like, I get why Trump people don't like her, but I'm on the left and I don't like her because I don't want to get too political, but
no, it's okay.
John, like, I really was into Bernie Sanders, right? And John Legend got busted donating to this, like, anti-Bernie, like, neoliberal Twitter personality that would get, like, paid to bash Bernie Sanders and promote Elizabeth Warren. And he got busted. People thought this guy was just tweeting, like, just to tweet. And then it came out mm-hmm. that he had all this. He was getting funded, like, getting paid. And John Legend was one of the people paying him. And John Legend had, like, come out supporting. So, you know, the Bernie bro in me doesn't like them. I get why. Yeah. I get not liking them for political reasons, but I'm not canceling them.
I think because I've talked about her on my channel and everything, and people have a lot of bad things to say, and they're like, she's always been this person. Like, if you look at everything she's tweeted, she's always trying to tear people down. And it's almost like she found the best possible funnel for her, like, I guess, rage and bullying or whatever in Trump. Like, she got the best feedback from that. You know, the left was like, yeah, get him. She got an opponent that engaged and gave her more content. You know, it's like she sunk her teeth into that really well, but that was almost like dumb luck. And people are right. Like, if you look back, she's been like this. She's like a shotgun blast. She just like sprayed it all over. And this was like kind of the thing that took in a way that was beneficial to her, like bashing Trump. And I always liked it. I was like, yeah, get him. And I've interviewed her. She's so lovely. She's really funny. She's super down to earth in a way that a lot of really beautiful people aren't, because they don't have to be. They don't have to develop a personality. That's never really been a requirement. They were just so beautiful. So I always appreciated that she was so fully formed as a person.
Well, that was her thing, was like, I'm hot and I'm funny.
Yeah. And I was like, you are. This is very true. But yeah, like when you kind of go back, it's like, but again, like she was making commentary on other just things that were in the news. Like it was mean. And I mean, telling a 16-year-old to go kill herself, like I said in my videos, like, dude, Courtney might have. She might have. Yeah. Like she's not a super strong person. That could have, imagine you're 16, you're newly famous for all the wrong reasons, and a celebrity slides into your DMs. Like, imagine if you blew up tomorrow, Jacques, and Kylie Jenner was like, I think you're fat and you should die and your mom should have aborted you. You've been like, what? Like, it would be catastrophic to your self-esteem.
And it's because she is this beautiful model, Chrissy, there is like this mean girls element to it. Like, I'm the popular girl and I'm going to like bully the, you know, the school skank. You know what I mean?
Like, yes. And it's like, why? You're already the beautiful, popular girl. You're on the top of the heap. Like, why do you need to do that? It's very like beta behavior. It hints that like maybe she's got this weird complex that she's not good enough, you know, cause she would go after like Farrah Abraham, like again, like who can't who blame her for that. Exactly. I will probably later today. Like I can't blame her, but you like, she goes after girls, you know, and it's, I don't know. It's interesting. It's a very interesting psychological thing to unpack.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that a lot of these celebrities that hitch themselves to the anti-Trump bandwagon, it's not going well for them because a lot of them are being shown up as hypocrites or they're becoming completely irrelevant now that Trump's gone. Like Samantha Bee's show, which I think Samantha Bee is so fucking unfunny and corny. I think she's awful. I don't the fact that she has a fucking TV show, but like they pulled that off the air in Australia just recently because it's like no one's watching if she's not talking about Trump. Like what the fuck else is she going to do? Like her whole brand was bashing Trump. So, I
forgot she existed. I didn't. Yeah. I totally forgot about her.
A lot of them, like the ratings have gone down big time. You know, like what's Chelsea Handler doing now? Like Chelsea Handler spent the last few years just trying to be super woke and anti-Trump. And it's like now Trump's gone. It's like I saw she's back to podcasting now. Like she recently, you know, started a podcast again. I think I saw in Page Six going, oh, I would go back to a talk show. It's like, okay, now you're just like, what a job.
Would you? Like, oh, it's like I would allow myself to be cast in an Oscar nominated movie. It's like, oh, okay. Thank you. Have you seen Trevor Noah's unearthed tweets? Like his anti.
Oh, does he have bad tweets too? I cannot stand him. So we love that.
I know. He's so sanctimonious. Like he's funny, but I mean, But yeah, it's like all of them. Oh, like a Jew was crossing the street. So glad I didn't hit him with my German car. Like they're very. And I was like, that to me is just like, I don't even think it's anti-Semitic. It's just like a hacky, stupid joke.
Yeah, like that's, it's like Jews a teacher.
Germans. Yeah, like you think that's funny. It's like blackface. Like that's not funny. It's just dumb.
Yeah. Well, you did have a good point, I think, on the Sarah Fraser show, and you said that now that we're in this kind of Stop Asian Hate movement, that it's mm-hmm. like now people of color are getting called out for their tweets. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, hey, it's not just the white mm-hmm. people with the bad tweets. It's everyone's got bad tweets. You don't have to be white. Like, we've all got bad tweets and posts. Right.
And just because you're black or any person of color doesn't mean you get to say whatever you want about other people. Like, you want to walk it like you talk it? This is what equality is, my dude. And it's everyone is held to the same rules. So, cancel comes for you.
I know. That's why I always tell people, I'm like, don't play the game because it's going to come back at you. Like, as soon as you get into this, like, you're setting yourself up to be torn down. And so Candace Owens has jumped on the bandwagon now. Mm-hmm. She, in my opinion, is going so fucking overboard with this. But she knows how to. Candace Owens is so savvy. She's so good at media. She knows mm-hmm. how to insert herself into something to get media attention. I saw on the Daily Mail, she's comparing Chrissy Teigen to Harvey Weinstein and Jeffrey Epstein.
Right. Like, so predators protect predators.
Yeah. It's mm-hmm. like, okay. But it's like, okay, bad tweets are not the same as sex trafficking underage girls to an island, or, you know, assaulting, like raping young actresses and, you know, and everything. Like, this is not the same thing. I'm not a Candace Owens fan. I probably have a lot of listeners that love Candace Owens.
I love her. I do.
Yeah. People love her. I can't stand her because and it's not the thing about the politics. Like, I don't care, you know, what politics people have. I don't give a shit, but I've talked about this before, but I knew of Candace's channel when she had like her very, before she was even Candace Owens, she was called Red Pill Black on YouTube when she had a small channel. I used to follow all of the political YouTube people and like, she is a grifter, and I'm not someone that just goes, oh my God, everyone's a grifter, but like, I saw that she was taking talking points from bigger people and she was repackaging them as like, you know, same talking points, but I'm a black female. Like, I don't think she's genuine. Like, it's a shtick, because I saw the genesis of it, and I've followed mm-hmm. the career and where it's gone, and I've seen how she puts herself into things. But I do think she is really talented at what she does in terms of, like, you know, being a famous person, being a commentator. She's really like the new Ann Coulter, really, isn't she? Like, she's the next gen
and
one.
I mean, not to be a Candace Owens apologist, but I'm going to do exactly that. Like, I think even if she's repackaging the stuff that, like, I don't know, a white commentator might say, or just a person on the internet, it's like she's getting eyes on issues and theories that need attention, you know. And I'm not like 100% like all about Candace. I did a video with like about her feud with Cardi about the WAP thing, and it's like, some of what she said was right, but some was like crazy. It's like, girl, pop your pussy if you want to. Why do you care, Candace? You know, and then Cardi, why do you?
Well, she cared because it would get her a headline. She wanted the headline. You know, it's
pop
about
it in private. I don't pop mine in public either. Just do it in private and let Cardi do it wherever she wants to. Like, what's the matter? But overall, I do like Candace. You know, I think she's saying things that are a lot of times very logical. Not always. You know, she doesn't believe in climate change, which is kind of weird.
Oh, man, well, that was so embarrassing. If you watched Joe Rogan, that's when she really got exposed, because he was like, oh, why don't you, like, he actually followed up with questions.
Really?
To explain. Yeah. Oh my God, girl, you might not be a Candace Owens fan after you watch this.
Like, no, then I don't she want came, to hear. She
I think I have
Let
a different
me just
view.
Love someone.
I think I had a different view of her because I did watch it very closely. So I saw all of these things. Whereas if you're just seeing her in broad strokes, she's probably more appealing, because it's fun to see her come out and, like, you know, drag, you know, whatever, these annoying celebrities and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I actually do think that in general things are getting, I think things are actually swinging back to political incorrectness again. I think people
and
are fucking over it.
You and I are on the tip of the spear. We are, Jacques. Like, we are sticking ourselves out there to toot our own horns, beep, beep, motherfuckers. But like, we're saying like, no, this is ridiculous. And I'm going to say things that are politically incorrect. It's like, I'm not afraid of being canceled. If you don't like our content, move on with your life. That's it.
Yeah. And I'm noticing other, like, podcasters and stuff that I listen to that used to be more PC and they're like speaking out more. I get messages all the time because I'm open that I'm like, would consider myself like far left. And I get messages all the time. I'm just like not PC. And I get messages from, you know, Americans a lot because Americans, a lot of them are like scared to speak out. And they go, oh my God. Yeah. And they'll be like, oh my God, you know, I don't agree with you, but I love that you just like speak your opinion. Or they'll be like, oh my God, I agree with you, but I can't say that. Like,
that's what's so hard to hear. It's like, we can't let one side or the other drown everything out. Like, I understand why people feel that way after like 4 years of Trump, but like, there's got to be moderation. And I feel like most people are actually fairly moderate and like, not like a weird Ted Cruz kind of way, but just like a normal way. It's like, we agree with some things, we disagree with others. Like, we take this, we, you know, discard that. And I hope people who are like you and I, who are not politically incorrect, are giving people like that a chance to feel heard.
Well, it's even like what I've noticed from coming into space, it's people are super PC about like the most mundane shit that like constantly every week. Talk about the housewives, and sometimes it will be a valid thing where it's like, what, like one of the housewives was racist. I'm not saying that that doesn't happen, but then there's also just the fucking stupidest shit that people are like latching onto. I'm like, this is not important, and this is not a serious issue. Like, I went in Clubhouse the other day, which I hate Clubhouse now.
Clubhouse. What is the point?
I got into it for, look, if you use it right, it can be good, okay?
Well, it can't make you money, so no, but, I can, like, talk to myself in my kitchen for free. Like, I don't need this.
But it can bring you people to the platforms that do make money. So you can round people up there and then move them over to you know, subscribe to you or whatever. But I was, like, tried to go in, like, just a Bravo chat room on Clubhouse, and people are coming up to speak, and they're like, I don't know if I'm allowed to have an opinion on this, but, like, as a white person, I just want to clarify that I am an ally. And it's like, do I have to listen to 10 minutes of qualifiers for you to comment on the latest episode of the Housewives of Beverly Hills? Like, this is fucking ridiculous. Like,
it's a fear state. Everyone's living in this fear state. It's like, someone's going to be mad at me. I'm like, honey, do you even know who these people are? Like, what do you fucking care? What do you care? Let it go. Like, hate is freedom. Hate, being hated, it's like, oh my God, there's nothing left to fear. Like, oh, people don't like me. Oh no. Like, is God on the throne? Am I still hot? Am I still getting laid? Do my friends still like me? Am I still making money? Yes to all of those. Then, like, deuces to everybody else. Like, it doesn't, just live your life. It's so much more liberating.
Yeah, I've become, the longer I've done this, the more sort of fed up I've been trying to like tiptoe around things, and I just am kind of like getting over it. Really, the only fear that I would have, not that I've put myself in, like said anything like that crazy, so I'm not going to get fired or anything, but that's the one thing that is like, that's scary, is that people can, you know, lose their jobs or something if things resurface. But I also think that with, you know, I think things swinging back culturally a little bit to people getting more politically incorrect and outspoken again, because we do have all these platforms now with podcasters, YouTubers, you have all these content creators that are like working for themselves. Mm-hmm. So like you. So it's like, well, I work for myself, so I'll say whatever the fuck I want. My boss can't fire me.
Cancel Shal. And I was like, who are you talking to? Like, me? Like, you think I'm going to like shut my own career down? Like, that's adorable. If you don't support someone, your options are buy what they're selling or do not buy it. Your option is not put their address on the internet, say, DM them and say they need to go die, like get them cut from their record label. What does that actually earn these fucking losers at the end of the day?
I do have a big problem with the whole going after the sponsors, because I remember when Stassi and Kristen from Vanderpump Rules, they got cancelled. I was fine with people being mad at them. Like, I don't care. Like, you can be angry
that
at them. You
so
can disagree with them. But
did they call the cops on a black girl? That's insane.
There's actually more to that story. It did get twisted. It was one of those things that came out at the worst possible time, and I actually understand why Bravo had to let them go, because it was like the height of the George Floyd stuff. You can't, like, from a PR perspective, I do get it, like, you can't be seen to be supporting that behavior. It's like, I understood it, but the story, what actually happened, got, from what I know of it, was that, by the way, she was a shady individual, by the way. She wasn't a thief, though, because they accused her of stealing something, which she didn't, but she was shady. And what they did was, no, they didn't call the cops on her. They called, one of them called some hotline that was like a tipster hotline about possible thefts or whatever. And they left a message to say, oh, can you call me back? And the person never called them back. So it's different to they called the police directly on a black person. But the details, the finer details were not, revealed at the time.
Like, and
and they couldn't really even clarify it, because if they clarified it, then it's like, oh, my God, you're making excuses for, so they kind of had to, wear it as this is what we did. But it's like there was, more to it. And even Andy Cohen has come out and said since, I wish that we could have made it a teachable moment, which I do agree, because I think that you can – there is a real teachable moment in there of like, hey, if you're going to call the cops on someone of color, like, you better be sure. Like, don't just do it on a fucking whim over some like petty shit because you're in a, you're feuding with someone and you want to like.
Like, how about this? Don't call the cops on a whim on anyone, on an Asian person, on a Jewish person, on a white person, on a person in a wheelchair, on a Cherokee. Like, just don't call the cops. Like, this isn't recess in second grade. You're like, exactly. Infinite tattle. And but also in 2021, definitely don't do it on a black person. That's just a very ill-advised move.
Yep. And I think that, so I think they could have made it a teachable moment. I think that would have benefited people more, and to highlight it, because it was a wake-up call. Like, it really was you've really got to think more carefully when you're doing something like that. But anyway, so I want to talk about this Colton Underwood thing, because I'm fucking obsessed with this story. I am obsessed. And you did this video, the thumbnail was "Why Colton is a clout chasing douche."
Yes.
Which is very true. This Variety article, I don't know if you read the whole article, but
I couldn't get through it. I honestly couldn't get through it. It was insane. It was insane.
It was filled with lies. There was so much to unpack. But I got to say, okay, I just want to clarify off the bat when it comes to Colton. I think there are two sides to Colton. I think, he's a clout. I think he's a clout chasing douche. 100%. But I do think that he's also this, sincerely, a mentally disturbed closet case, and that he was messed up from sort of his religious upbringing and being conservative and gay. Because if you've watched The Bachelor, he was having emotional breakdowns on more than one of the show. On Bachelor in Paradise, he had an emotional breakdown where he's, crying. It wasn't acting. He was crying hysterical. And then on the main season of The Bachelor, when he was The Bachelor, he had a breakdown and ran off into the woods and jumped a fence. And, he's got issues.
Jumped off a fence?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Have you not seen that? He got rejected. He ran off into the woods, jumped over a fence, ran into the woods in Portugal without a passport. They took them hours to find him. Like, he's got issues. So he's cuckoo. Okay, so the first bombshell, because I want to go through this article a bit, was that he was hooking up with guys and using Grindr before he ever went on The Bachelor. He was still on Grindr in 2017.
I told you so in so many videos. Yes. I told you so. No one wanted to believe me.
I know.
Keep going.
You and Carol Radziwill from The Housewives of New York, she got in so much shit because she called him out when he came out. People were attacked her. She was sort of defending the women on The Bachelor. People fucking came after her.
You know what? She's Kennedy. She's bulletproof. Please, this is all you've got.
But she was proven right. Isn't that crazy that he knew he was gay? He knew he was gay. He was looking up gay porn as a teenager. Oh, he was on Grindr. He was hooking up with guys.
That is the composite of a gay person. That's a gay person right there.
I know. So
if he didn't know, and one of my friends, she DM'd me about this, and she's an ex-Mormon, and she's like, look, I went through my own journey with leaving the Mormon church or whatever. You know what I didn't do while I was going through that journey? Go on a show about dating a fucking Mormon guy. I didn't seek out Mormon guys. I didn't get set up on dates. She's like, I went through my journey by myself. And no matter if you're Mormon, gay, whatever, we all go through transitions, whether they're that extreme or they're just our own personal journey that's maybe a little bit more subtle. As a responsible person, we take ourselves off the market during that time. You can't be half of a whole if you don't know what half you are. And if you're just like, fuck it, I'll figure it out as I go along. That doesn't work if you're learning how to drive a stick. Colton, that's not a stick. Or it doesn't work if you're learning to date. You don't get to learn on the fly when there's other people's hearts involved. And I think just because this is packaged in this LGBT candy coating, it's okay. But if this was, he was sexing other chicks on Grindr or Tinder, and he was DMing other girls. If this was just like girls he was doing this with, they'd be like, fuck you, you gross thing. Like, you're just a gross cheater. But because it's gay, it's like, he's so brave. No, he's not. He's a malignant narcissist. He's the worst kind of person in the world to guys and to girls. Like, what was he doing to guys this whole time?
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I think he's sort of trying to reframe it as like he was going on The Bachelor to, I don't know. He's like, oh, I thought I wanted to be straight. But it's like, no, you went on for fame. Like, you went on to be on TV. And
you went for fame.
Yeah, 100%. Because
I would have so much more respect if he just said that. Hey, I really wanted to be famous. And this is, I feel like every awful person in the world would be like, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, like, no, he later, because I followed his career, because I love Bachelor, I love Bachelor Nation, I like following all of this stupid fucking drama, and he had said that after he did The Bachelorette, it was like a three-way race to see who would be the next Bachelor. It was between Colton, Blake, and someone else, and Colton was like, I was campaigning for it, like, I wanted it, you know what I mean? Like, so he is so focused on fame. Another bombshell from this article, which was crazy to me, was that after Colton and Cassie split up, and this is before he started stalking her, they were shopping a reality show around about dating after their split. So they were trying to get back on TV, both of them. They were shopping a show around. The show fell through when he started stalking her. And then
put a tracking device on her car.
I keep highlighting that. I'm like, guys, it wasn't just like...
Right. It's not, he's just texting her a lot of things. Like, he wasn't like Snapchatting her like subtweets. Like, he was physically tracking her movements. Like, this is the kind of person I watch a lot of, like, shows on, like, and listen to podcasts on, like, con men and what they call red collar crime, where, like, people are committing, like, white collar crime. If they get to the point where their fraud is about to be found out, they're extremely dangerous. And his fraud was not necessarily financial, but it was a fraud nonetheless. And Cassie was close to discovering that. She's lucky she got out with her life. Seriously.
Well, I was going to ask you, so with him stalking her, do you think, so I guess the narrative he's put on is that he was so in love with her and that it was,
know,
he was trying so hard to convince himself that he was straight and he was scared to face who he really is without her. But then I also think, was he scared she was going to out him? And was that why he was doing to scare her into silence? Yeah.
I can't think of anything more toxic and destructive to the psyche of women than to normalize a violent man. Is he just loves you so much. Like, that's why he had to hit you. That's why he had to stalk you. That's why it's not that he's a violent psychopath, a person who's living a double life. No. That's what love is. This is what love should look and feel like. It should feel like terror. Go fuck yourself, what's his name? Colton.
Colton.
Whatever. Like, he can go fuck himself. I mean, he wants to fuck everything else. So maybe he should stay and just...
I know. Well, you know what's so fucking weird, though, is that this was in Variety as well. He and Cassie have some joint agreement not to speak about it. And I'm like, why can't... Like, what is this deal? Like, why is she being quiet? Like, does he have dirt on her? And that
no,
she doesn't
I think
want
this
that?
Is probably something that... You know, it's like, hey, babe, you know, like, I value our relationship so much. Let's just sign this NDA so that no one can come between us. We're never going to see those articles that, like, so-and-so said this. We're going to know it's fake because we're legally bound not to talk. Like, he is 10 steps down the road from her. Like, he's like a master chess player in this. She is just, I don't know. I mean, her name's Cassie, for God's sakes. Like, I've never met, like, a Cassie who's, like, a criminal mastermind. Like, they're sweet people. I think she was genuinely in love with him and he was playing her the whole time. So all of this is part of his overall fraud. Like, this is a fraud scheme.
Well, his publicist, so he had to come out because he was going to a fucking gay sauna bathhouse.
That's unsanitary.
Oh, I think it's disgusting, guys. Oh my God, someone's gonna be like, oh my God, you're slut shaming. I'm sorry. I think it's gross to go to a public establishment with complete strangers that you don't like. You're just walking into like a and how many people are coming in? And I mean, I'm sure they clean them. I think it's gross.
They don't. It's very hard to clean something with that much humidity. Germs thrive in that environment. So
that's
just
a good point.
Just be a slut, but just be a slut in like a cleaner
at home
environment.
Absolutely. Have someone at home. If you guys want to use saunas, it's fine. I think it's gross. Personally, it's my fucking opinion. I think Colton's gross. So he was going to these gay saunas. Someone saw him, and I don't know. This is also maybe like an ego thing. Did he think he could go to a gay sauna with as big as The Bachelor is? And he was like one of the most famous bachelors, the Virgin Bachelor. So he thinks that he can go to a gay sauna and not get caught. But someone took a photo of him, obviously, to blackmail him. He went to his publicist first, before anyone else. And then the publicist, they orchestrated him coming out, and they also pitched with the show. They were like, oh, the show with Cassie fell through, but let's do a coming out show with Colt.
Right.
Which is kind of very crazy to me, and again shows that fame is like the main motivation for him. It's like anything that'll get me on TV and like get me in the spotlight.
And it does such a disservice to gay people who actually are legitimately struggling with this issue and struggling about how to come out and present themselves and walking the line of like what society wants. Like, well, my mom wants me to marry the girl next door, but I want the boy next door. And for him to hold himself up as an exemplar of this issue is disgusting. Like, he is the most calculated reptilian person I have seen in the public eye in a very long time. He's also very bad at it. Like, to me, his machinations are so incredibly see-through. Like, the fact that, like you said, he went to a sauna. It's like, did you think no one would see him? I think he wanted people to see him. I think he is such a self-aggrandizing douche that he's like, however this comes out, I can spin it to my advantage. Like, he's the most toxic person.
But did you see him on GMA? He looked genuine. That's why I get confused with him sometimes, because he looked like he was like shaking and quivering and like...
with excitement. Do you think he was like vibrating with delight. He was like, couldn't contain like the attention. He was like a peacock just like ruffling his little feathers.
I will say that when I watched him on the first season, when he first came to fame on the very first Bachelorette season with Becca, I thought he was so full of shit. So did my friend. I thought he was such a fame whore. I thought he was just so fake and manipulative. And it wasn't until he went on like Bachelor in Paradise and like The Bachelor that I kind of got like brainwashed into becoming a Colton stan, because then he's the leading man and he has that great edit and he says all the right things. And he's so good looking too. So
he's very hot. Yeah, he's beautiful.
He's fucking amazing. I mean, he's like one of the hottest guys I've ever seen. Like,
because he's gay. Like, obviously, like, proof positive. Like, there's never been a more attractive bachelor. That should have been a red flag for all of us. Yeah. Like, they're always vague with no face. Not since, I know, like, Brad Womack or something.
Listen, the old school.
Yeah.
And listen to this quote from the article. Netflix will air Underwood coming out for the first time to his family and friends, including his father. So what, they had fucking cameras there as he came out to them?
That's
so weird.
That's a really good point. I mean, it's, you're gay, I'm bisexual. It's like, coming out to our families was not a moment. It's like, I want to immortalize. It's not like telling your husband, like, we're having a baby, here's a pregnancy test. Like, that is still an intimate moment. Like, he's just, I can't imagine the kind of person to monetize an experience like that.
Yep, and he's doing the show right with this guy Gus Kenworthy, who is this
beautiful. How dare he drag Gus Kenworthy? How dare he? That man is a treasure and an Olympian. That man is a god among men. How dare he?
He's another generically attractive kind of white gay. And
that's my vibe. Yep. Just like a generic attractive white man. That's my Tinder. I'm gonna change that out. Seeking generically attractive white men. Gay or not gay.
And put gay, but put the strike through.
Right.
He's
I'll take what I can get.
And Colton says, okay, this is a quote. Colton's talking about Gus. He's been somebody that I've not only learned so much from, but he's held me accountable and allowed me to see the privilege of being a straight presenting gay white man. Pointed out how my path has been compared to others. And I'm like, is this whole special just going to be like, oh my God, I'm a white gay, I'm sorry? Like, because, you know, people hate white gays now, and they hate white women. You're a Karen, I'm a white gay. Right. And then the Variety article writer interviews this transgender Latina pastor, and The pastor's like whinging. Yeah, the transgender Latina pastor. And she's whinging about how Colton's like, you know, a cisgender white gay and it's unfair and how like someone like her deserves more visibility. And I'm thinking like, love, we'll go on The Bachelor. Like, that's why we care, because he was on like one of the biggest seasons of The Bachelor ever. Then he got caught stalking his girlfriend and then he came out as gay. Like, it's a pretty juicy story. Like, that's why we want to watch.
I'm sorry. The phrase deserves more visibility. It's like, well, are you interesting? Are you funny? Like we were exactly. saying earlier in the year, it's like, or in the episode, it's like, well, you're not saying anything interesting. Like, that's why no one's paying attention to you. It's like, because you're X, Y, and Z, you think, well, like, what are people talking about?
Colton's story is fucking juicy with all these twists and turns. Like, that's right. why we're interested. And he was on The Bachelor, which is like an television institution that's been right. on for 20 years. Like, of course he's going to have like that visibility. And when I was reading this article too, I'm like, this whole fucking Netflix project, because they were bringing up a lot of, like, they had people from, like, GLAAD, and GLAAD were like, you know, The Bachelor needs to be more diverse, and we need a gay Bachelor and all this shit.
No, we don't. That's not the audience. Just make the audience is 24-year-old girls getting drunk on shitty wine in their apartment that they can't afford. That, like, they want to dream that they're on it. Like, know your audience. The audience is,
and that's
not
what makes the show. That's what makes the show good. Is it's about right. kind of very generic, straight people that are doing this sort of conventional, old school, like, fairy tale romance with the cheesy roses and everything. Like, we kind of watch for that. Like, and I would love a gay Bachelor, but like, just do it a different show. Like, they had one Prince Charming, and it was a hot mess,
it was amazing.
They should have kept that going. I don't know, but feel like this whole project, though, it sounds just very kind of bland and corporate to me. It's like a Gay Ink project. It's like Netflix's diversity and inclusion department needed to like tick a representation box for their stockholders. So they're
just going to say. Absolutely.
I want to talk about you, because I am obsessed with your Instagram stories these days, because you just go through Tinder and post all of these douchey guys on there. I think it's amazing. I don't know if are you saving the stories in a thing?
Oh, yeah.
Because you should be.
There's a highlight called Tinder on my profile. I didn't want to, but then I'm like, so many girls are like, don't let this end.
It's brilliant.
I mean, I'm encountering, like, I live in Montana and you know, I'm dating, and I feel like guys here are very much like the single cell protozoa version of like men. They're just like manly men. They're not like, they're not clout chasing. Like, they're just like dudes, and the things they're doing wrong are so insane.
Documented. Some of the profiles that you're posting on there, I'm like, what the fuck? And I love it, because I haven't done this for a long time, but I would often just go through OkCupid profiles by myself at home and make fun of them to my fucking self. So I like that you're doing I like that you're doing it publicly. What's like the worst? What's one of the worst guys you've seen?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked, because I got it today. So I'm literally opening up my Tinder as we speak. Okay, so this guy, I don't know if he's like a robot or if he's like on some sort of spectrum, and that's not a knock to people who are on the spectrum, but he's like, okay, his name is Cameron. I'm not gonna disguise it, like, go fuck yourself, Cameron. Hey, Shallon, I am not the best at small talk, so I'm going to ask the first thing that comes to mind and see if it grabs your attention over most of your matches. How is your relationship with your parents and other family members? What the fuck kind of SATS question is this? Like,
that's like a psychiatrist.
And I was like, I'm super close with my mom, and my father committed suicide. Next time, go with, how has your week been? And he's like, have you tried therapy to cope with the death of your father? I'm like, Cameron.
Did he say that?
Yes. Oh, he went on and on and on. My intention with being on Tinder is to meet people in person for conversation and possible future developments, depending on how things go. Are you interested in meeting up at some point? No.
He does sound like a robot.
He sounds like a robot. Like, was he 3D printed by Pepsi? Like, what is this?
I feel sorry for some of these guys, though, because I do think that, you know what? I feel like kind of in this day and age, and a lot of the, you know, the movements, the Me Toos and everything, like, a lot of men don't know how to approach a woman now. They don't know what the fuck to say.
Well,
they don't
know
how to do it.
As crazy as guys are, and if you go to my Instagram, ShallonXL, you can see how crazy it is. Nothing compared to how crazy girls are. They're like, first of all, not here for a hookup. Second of all, independent woman working two shifts a week at Starbucks. Fucking thank you very much. Third, here's my Snapchat, no dick pics. I will send you my tip. They're just, they come out of the gate so insane. There's, girls
sounds
are just
like me.
Have I just been swiping on you this whole time, Jack?
Yeah.
I should be a solo game.
What's the thing that you're seeing the most in common with men these days on dating profiles?
Like what guys are doing? Well, in Montana, it's like looking for an adventure buddy. But you know what I see a lot? And I've realized that this is truly just simply a contingent of the population, no matter what your gender, people who are swiping and messaging with no intention of meeting up. This is just because I talk to guys and they're like, I don't understand why girls do this. And girls say the same thing. It's like, there's just a certain sector of the population, like 17%, that they're just on there for no real reason that we can.
So it's like doom scrolling on Instagram.
Did you say to fill the doom time. Scrolling?
Doom scrolling. Yeah. On Instagram.
Oh my God. Am I just waiting for the world end? Come take me, Satan. Come back, Jesus. I'm just like scrolling until time itself runs out. Oh my God. Yeah. It's like, there's people who are not. I had a guy message me. We've been talking for like a week, which is too long, but he's really hot. So I'm going to like give him a little room, but he's like, I have a double date tonight, but can I see you Sunday? I was like, are you telling me of a date tonight? His name's Jaden. He's 22 and super hot. So.
But do they think that if they say that, it makes them look like they're in demand and then that you'll be like more, like you'll want them more? Is that what they think?
It must be that. And I am fighting for my life every single time I have to respond to these people and not be like, do you understand that I'm internet famous and you're trying to flex on going to a double date at Applebee's? Okay, let's go toe to toe on this. You want to start this game? Let's start this game.
Oh my! And are you just still going after the young guys? Are you still Cougar Shallon? Because wasn't your last boyfriend in college?
He might
you're the Doug been. Hutchinson of YouTube.
I go for boys who are 22 at least. Like, but you know what? I've been swiping. I had a date last night with a 35-year-old firefighter, and he was like amazing. And I'm like, oh, this is maybe what people are talking about in terms of like, you know,
being mature and, like, and dating around your age and like having a man and not a boy.
Correct. But I'm also extremely shallow, and younger guys are simply hotter, especially in Montana. Like a 33-year-old Montanan looks like a 65-year-old Californian. They just, they get rode hard and put up wet. You know, they just, it's.
So if a guy doesn't have like the LA body, like the carved out, like six pack and everything, are you just like, nah?
Correct. I demand a good body. Will I give them a carved out body? No, Jacques, I will not. I demand what I am not willing to give. But again, like I'm quite shallow, but look, like a good body is basically all a guy has to bring to the table. Like they don't need eyelash extensions and a spray tan and a Tinder presence or Instagram presence, whatever. It's like, you literally just have to take care of yourself. You don't have to give birth. You don't have a menstrual cycle. You don't have to get a bikini wax. This is it. And especially out here where guys are so active, like if you are fat in Montana, bro, like seriously, like, bro, I don't know how you're doing this. This is like, it's almost hard not to be really fit in this state.
And do you want are you after a serious relationship or are you just like, whatever?
I don't want to owe my time to someone right now. I'm really enjoying being single. I don't know. I like last.
Do you have your eggs frozen?
No. I know a lot of people have frozen them. I don't know anyone who's thawed them back out. They have a 15%. They do. They have the 15% chance.
Oh, really?
It's actually a pretty bad return investment. But if it makes someone feel better, if it just takes the pressure off of a woman so that they're not just partnering up with a douche out of like a panic situation, like, great. Freeze them. If that takes the pressure off you, do it. Whatever makes you feel better. If you want to get a vaccine, get the vaccine. If it makes you feel better, get it, whatever. But for me, no, I'm not super into kids. I mean, I want to be a stepmom, I think.
Oh, okay. So it's like you're fine with dating a guy that has kids already?
But that means he's going to be older. I don't know. I haven't really worked out all the kinks in this theory, but...
Was the firefighter nice?
He was very nice. Him? Yeah, he was very nice. He was like surprisingly very, and he's like a fire jumper. Like he jumps out of a helicopter into a.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
like did you bang him?
no, I don't even like kiss on the first day. I'm like, I'm a freak in the street and the lady in the sheets. I'm like the worst possible combination. I present so crazy and then I'm like, don't touch me.
Have you got a second date like organized?
I think he's texting me right now. I might go out with him tonight, but I had a date this afternoon and he wants me to come over and make s'mores at his fire pit. I don't know if that's a euphemism or something.
Girl,
but
you're just like getting out and about. So you like came from a date to me and then you're like, I might go to another date. That's like booked and busy.
I'm trying. But then my hideous ex-boyfriend goes roaring by my house in his lifted truck, like trying to make me jealous with some Groupon pussy in the front seat. I'm like, that's so subtle and so embarrassing. This isn't life in a small town. It's crazy.
How do you like people that much to sit down and have conversations with strangers? I can't think of anything worse.
It's tough. It's tough, like, doing what I do for a living because it's like I've colonized life on Venus. It's just so bizarre saying you're a YouTuber in a place where people are very, like, tactile. They're like, I'm a bricklayer. I'm earthy. A construction worker. I'm a – yeah, like, they do actual things with their life that they can quantify and it's tangible. And I'm like, I make the statements on the YouTube. Like, what do? I don't do anything. I'm sorry.
So how many guys do you date that have a foot fetish? Because I'm curious about this.
I have a theory that a foot fetish is actually non-existent. Like, I've dated a lot of people. My friends, I have a lot of friends, and they've all dated a lot of people. I have never encountered one person who's encountered a guy with a foot fetish. Have you?
Because you always hear about them.
Yeah, you always hear about it, but I've never heard about
it. I thought you as a straight woman were going to have guys, like, trying to take pictures of your feet and stuff all the time.
Maybe I don't have great feet.
Yeah, maybe you've got ugly feet.
Oh, my God. This is not what I needed.
So you always talk about your business octopus. Mm-hmm. Will OnlyFans be a tentacle?
No, I can't even give it away, Jacques. Like, I could.
So you would never
it.
Do OnlyFans?
No, I've never taken a nude in my life. I haven't. I'm not like, I've taken like sexy, like I always say like Maxim, not Playboy, you know, like Victoria's Secret, not Hustler. And every photo I've ever taken, if it's in the cloud, if any photo got out, I'd be like, yeah, that's me. It's nice. Like I make sure it's fine. One. Yeah. Like more power to people who are doing that. But again, like we were talking about these YouTubers who do the infighting. It's like, you have to think about longevity. And like, I'm a very strategic person. I try to think quite a few steps ahead. And it's like, I also know myself and I'm a full grown adult in her 30s. And like people I think who are big on OnlyFans, like, you know, they're younger. They're like late teens, early 20s. Like you're not necessarily.
I think
thinking.
There's all types, honestly. I actually think that when you do something like that, if you do have something different, it's like, I'm the MILF. You know what I mean? You can
one
do something
like that. One of my
friends
is 39 and she's crushing it on there. And she's a smoke. Brooklyn, look her up, Brooklyn Lake. But she's having the best time. I'm like, great. Like, get it, girl. Like, if you like it, do it, you know? But if you, I don't know, just be judicious about what you're putting out there because it really does last forever, you know?
Yeah, it does. And people don't think. I mean, the amount of people, especially gay guys that I follow on Twitter, and they all tweet out their own nudes and stuff. And I'm like, in 10 years, oh my God, gays are like putting their nudes all over Twitter. It's like so common.
Like,
and
they've all got
OnlyFans. Yeah, they just bought their ass, whatever. And they don't care. Like, they're real. And I just think that in a few years, like, that's going to stay around, like when you're going for a normal job and everything. And a lot of them will have OnlyFans, but they're not influencers already where they're monetizing a following. They're just doing it for some like pocket money from their Twitter followers. And I think, so now you've put out all your nudes and porn on the internet and it's going to literally be there forever because you're probably on a forum. I look at a forum to get free OnlyFans so I don't have to pay for everyone. Because I see someone cute on Twitter, I type in the name of the forum and I put their name. I do subscribe to a couple of OnlyFans, but I'll usually just try and, you know what's funny with OnlyFans though, if you subscribe, it really is like any other platform, like a YouTuber or a podcaster or whatever, where you have people that put out quality content and do like a really good job, and you have people that are just like lazy. Yeah. Like, it's not that easy. Like, it's not just let me get out my iPhone and snap a dick pic. It's like, you've actually got to have like angles and lighting, and the content has to be good. And it's like, that's a whole thing. So I actually respect people that can do a good job on it.
But like, that's the downside. It's like people who are sort of like amateur in this space. And then, you know, 6 months down the line, they're like, oh, this is like, I don't have the money for a photographer. Right? It's not getting the traction I want. Well, guess what, babe? Like, all this stuff is out there and you cannot put the genie back in the bottle. And if you just like, we go through so many different iterations as people. I've been preppy and goth and emo and gala and social. It's like, that's why I don't have sleeves of tattoos and a million piercings and a shaved head or whatever. It's like, I want to be able to move through life in whatever version I decide day to day. And if you, it's funny that people who do these OnlyFans things, like, you can't box me in. Like, honey, you're boxing yourself in. Like, now this is your lane. And this is always going to be over your shoulder, whether it's an employer or your girlfriend's dad or Googly. It boxes you in and you have less ability to reinvent yourself as you see fit. And that's such a shame.
Yeah. So look, I think we've had a pretty good, we've gone for a long time. We've covered it all, honey. I'm going to have to fucking edit this down.
I'm sorry.
I love it. Tell people what you've got going on, where they can find you. Like, what do you have going on right now that you really want people to check out?
Check out my, obviously check out YouTube.
Things.
I know I have a business octopus. Head over to my YouTube channel, Shallon Lester.
And you've been getting a lot on YouTube that I want to say, because you have been calling out some celebs. You've been a bit ahead of the curve with it. And then they later on, it's like, oh, Shallon was right. So just so you guys know, didn't you predict something with Bennifer? Was going to go back with Ben?
Yeah, I predicted it actually almost down to the day. I was like, she's going to stay with A-Rod for 3 weeks until she can control the narrative that they broke up. And then 2 weeks after that, she's going to be back with an ex, probably Ben Affleck. And like, down to the day. So, you know, people will trash me for what I say, but then, you know, it blooms to life. So also you can find me on flaze.com, FLAZE. And I do some like uncensored
blowjob
content.
Tips.
Yeah, blowjob tips, like how to be good in bed. It's mostly nasty. It's all very PG-13, but it's stuff that YouTube does not want to hear. So yeah, like stuff that we can't talk about on YouTube and tips and story times and things like that. And just Instagram at ShallonXO. I let everyone weigh in on topics and suggest their own. So I really like to hear feedback.
Oh, that's exciting, guys. Go follow her. And by the way, next time you come on, we need to talk about like YouTube censorship and stuff. Because I have a lot of thoughts on that.
Same.
So guys, go follow Shallon, ShallonXO, and Shallon Lester everywhere. I will put all of her links in my show notes. So just jump into the show notes to follow her. And thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, my Liam.
That's a wrap for this week, guys. You know where to find me, where to follow me, how to support me. So just go to the show notes for all that information and where you can find Shallon and follow her. Thanks a lot for listening, guys, and I will see you next week. Bye.